This is the portion of the service that's normally called the sermon. I'll let you be the judge of that today, okay? So it's always exciting to start a new series. And I guess Mike and I always enjoy the summer series because we've got 12 or 13 weeks, you know, that we're all together. It's not that, you know, we're not stopping and starting for any kind of church holiday or anything, like Easter or Christmas. So excited that for the next, actually we're going to be 13 weeks, I think we're going to do this, because September 1 is on a Sunday, and so I think we're going to have 13 weeks, or maybe 14 weeks rather than 13 weeks, where we're going to be looking in Matthew's gospel this summer, all of chapter 8 and chapter 9. And then we're going to be looking in chapter 12, chapter 15, and chapter 17 as well, and looking at the miracles of Jesus. We've actually been considering this series for a little while, and you know, we're calling it Revealed, because it was what Jesus is doing is he's revealing. He's continuing to peel off more layers of the onion, to take off more of the mask, and reveal to the world who he is. And hopefully, this morning we can kick it off by looking at Jesus's power to make clean as he encounters the man with leprosy. I'm gonna start by reading the end of chapter 7, verses 28 through 29, and then we're gonna go through chapter 8, verse 4, because it's important to read 28 and 29 because the authority of Jesus has just been established. This is following what even pagans say is the greatest sermon ever preached in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is known as Sermon on the Mount, right? We did that, I think, our first summer together. And so his authority has been established in verses 28 through 29 in chapter 7. Just reiterate that, and then we move into chapter 8. So if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, on into chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. If you don't have them, no problem. It's on the screen behind you. Hear the word of the Lord, Grace Life. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And you know what? This is in the NLT because Mike was supposed to be here. So let me just read off of this. Let's start this because I love my brother. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of the religious law. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." This is the word of God for the people of God, church. Thanks be to God. Well, we're entering a new section here in Matthew's gospel, okay? Again, we've just finished the Sermon on the Mount. And if you really go back to chapter 1, this is kind of what Matthew opens up our eyes to. He opens his gospel with the lineage of the king. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, we see his earthly lineage. And then in chapter 1:18 through the end of chapter 2, we see his heavenly lineage. Those genealogies that every one of us love to read over and over and over again, especially right before bedtime. Following that, we see in chapter 3 that he is heralded as the king. And then the king appears, and then the king is coronated in chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then we see the testing of the king. Remember Matthew chapter 4, Jesus goes out to the wilderness, and he's tested and tempted by the devil, right? And he stayed firm. And then we see the purpose of the king after comes back from the wilderness. He is to be the light in the midst of the darkness, and he is hope to the hopeless, what he reminds the church that they are supposed to continue that this day and age. Then we see the king's men in chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, and then the king begins his ministry. Jesus the king begins his ministry in chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. And Matthew 4, 23 through 25 says this: Jesus was going all through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread through all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases, pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis, all and Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So that's a lot that's going on in the first four chapters of Matthew, right? And here's the point. The point is that this king, King Jesus, has just begun to make himself known to the people and to the world. He did so through an amazing demonstrations of healing and miracles that we're going to look at. And the crowd is mesmerized by him, Scripture says. So there's quite a frenzy regarding him. Jesus, when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, Scripture says. They were amazed at this man. Why? Because he healed everything, he cast out demons, and he spoke with authority. It's no wonder that large crowds followed him, right? And so we're back now not to following Matthew. We're following him as he introduces to us systematically who this king, Jesus, is. There's power in being a king, church. And Matthew reveals this in chapters 8 and 9 of his gospel. I've often quoted to you, since we've been together, a passage in John's gospel, chapter 21, where he writes, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." And that reminds us that none of these guys that we're going to talk about and none of these gals were giving a historical document on Jesus. There is much that he did that has never been written down. And what that does mean for us, church, is that what has been written down is what we have to learn who he is. Yes? So he is systematically showing you the power of Jesus Christ in these verses that we just read. These chapters contain many miracles that we'll look at over the next few weeks. We're going to see Jesus' power over sickness, Jesus' power over nature, Jesus' power over demons, Jesus' power over sin, Jesus' power over death. And these are all pictures of his authority. And so by way of introduction, Matthew here is systematically showing the power of Jesus, okay? They contain, again, many miracles. They show Jesus' power, but they are all pictures of his authority. And Matthew shows them to us to solidify in our minds that Jesus really is the Messiah. He is who he says he is, and he's going to do everything that he said he was going to come and do. Now, no one could do these things if God was not with them, yes? And the first miracle Matthew uses is one that we study this morning. And we see this is Jesus sizes up against a man who has this disease called leprosy. Now, if you know anything about leprosy in the Bible times, like, you just couldn't even associate with people that were lepers. When a leper came into a town, he had to cover himself up, and he had to yell, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," right, as he was walking in, and so that everybody would disperse and be away from him. And so, you know, it was a horrid disease, and they didn't want to risk spreading anything to anybody else. And so they had to announce that they were coming in. There's a greater symbolism that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But there are four main points that I want to see this morning, okay? I had about 6 minutes to make a PowerPoint. It's like 3 points in a poem, okay? I promise, it's all good. Four main points in this text. The first thing we see in chapter 8, verse 2, we'll start with verse 1, but the first part of verse 2 is we see that there is a contaminated man in this text. Remember, this is about Jesus' power to make us clean. When he came down from the mountain, verse 1 on chapter 8, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him. There's a contaminated man. First and foremost, I want you to understand what Jesus is really up against. I know sometimes we read his miracles and get so familiar with them that they sort of lose their luster. But let me tell you about leprosy. It's a chronic illness that's never been fully understood. It was highly contagious. It spreads with your breath, and it spreads by touching common objects. It's really only been since we have had these medical advances in recent years that we understand a little bit more about what leprosy does. It appears to rot the flesh. Okay? Get that in your mind. What it essentially did was numb the physical sense of pain. And to many, that seems like a great disease, one without pain. But what it meant that was it pushed the body into sort of a self-mutilating condition. Physical pain is a tremendous warning that keeps you from doing something truly destructive, right? And if that warning is removed, you can do some serious damage to your body before you even realize that. So coupled with that, there seemed to have been a certain decaying factor that went along with it. One man wrote of leprosy. He says this: the disease which we today call leprosy generally begins with a pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Soon the skin in such spots loses their original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. And as the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and the ears, begin to bunch with deep furrows between the swellings so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. Fingers drop off or are absorbed. Toes are affected similarly. Listen to this. Eyebrows and eyelashes drop out. By this time, nobody can feel it. One can't even smell, for the leper puts off this very unpleasant odor from his body. The leper's voice acquires a grating quality. His throat becomes hoarse. Sorry, I just couldn't help it. And you not only you can't see, you can't feel, and you can't smell, but you can hear his rasping voice. And if you stay with him or her for some time, you can even imagine a peculiar taste in your mouth, probably due to the odor. John MacArthur reports that on what leprosy is. And so with leprosy, what you actually have is a disease. It's a disease that numbs the body to its own natural warning system, and thus the body self-destructs or destroys. It's very cruel, particularly cruel. And so that in and of itself would be enough to pity this man this morning, right? Who came to Jesus. But aside from the disease, you need to understand how it was viewed. Being sick is one thing. Dealing with pain is another. You could be sick and still get sympathy from others. You could be crippled and still get sympathy from others. But if you had leprosy, church, there was no sympathy. Those with leprosy were viewed with those stricken by God. And that was with good reason. Think about when Miriam challenged Moses. She was made leprous. You know? I mean, all throughout Scripture, God made people lepers. When Uzziah insisted upon offering the sacrifice, God made him a leper. So leprosy was often viewed as supernatural punishment coming from the hand of God or a consequence on that person. It was a rotting disease that you brought on yourself, people thought. And if while you had leprosy, you weren't considered sick, you were considered unclean. Leviticus 13 talks about that. We don't have time to go there this morning. But lepers were not treated with sympathy. They were treated as outcasts. And this was a command from God, no doubt in one sense, to stop the spread. But it also seemed it had to do something about the judgment from God. So lepers received no mercy. One rabbi spoke of throwing rocks at lepers to keep them away. That was a rabbi. Another said, I would not buy an egg off a street that a leper had walked down. So they were viewed as disgusting, rotten menaces to society. And so not only was your body destroying itself, you were also seen to have brought this on yourself by your sin and by your brokenness, and you were banished from all fellowship with your fellow man. Community was cut off. That's leprosy, and this man was contaminated with it in verse 2. Not only do we see a contaminated man, we see, number two, the second half of verse 2, a confident man. Look at this, verse 2 again. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. There's confidence there. Now, what we immediately notice is the confidence of the man. And you see that confidence in two areas. One area of confidence is in his approach. I mean, he came to Jesus and he bowed down before him. Yes? Please remember, this was strictly forbidden. Numbers chapter 5, command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp every leper and everyone having a discharge and everyone who is unclean because of a dead person. You shall send away both male and female. You should send them outside the camp so that they will not defile their camp where I dwell in their midst, right? They had to send sin outside the camp according to the law in Leviticus. The sons of Israel did so and sent them outside the camp just as the Lord spoke to Moses, and they did it. So this man wasn't supposed to approach people, much less the Son of God. He was supposed to yell, unclean, unclean, to everybody near him. And apparently, he could expect people to throw rocks if he got too close. What a life, you know? Nobody's done that retreat either. Come be a leper, you know? I mean, it just doesn't happen, you know? Yet this man was confident that he could approach Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is different, ladies and gentlemen. He came. He bowed down before him. The word for bowed down in the Greek literally means to prostrate oneself face down on the ground. We've seen this before. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Where is he who had been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. The word is commonly translated worship. To fall prostrate before somebody is to bow in humble adoration and worship. This man didn't come in arrogance or even boldness. He didn't come in greed. No, he came in confidence, first and foremost, to worship the king. He's confident that Jesus would accept him, and he knew that Jesus was the only one that could heal him. How about you? How about me this morning? In the sin sickness of our soul, church, do you know that Jesus is the only answer that's there? So we see his confident approach, but we also see confidence in his statement. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Yes? Notice here the way the man spoke to Jesus. So many people today treat Jesus like a servant, declaring his name to remove illnesses, seeking to even blackmail him with promises that I'm going to claim this promise from God. No. This man didn't come to boss Jesus. He called out to Jesus, and he called him Lord. And furthermore, he didn't request anything of him, did he? He said, if you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. See the confidence there? The man submitted himself to the will of the sovereign king. He had no doubt, church, that Jesus could heal him. The only issue was whether or not it was his will to do so. You know, one thing that Mark says all the time, Lord willing, right? Lord willing. And I thought about that so much when I was reading this text, praying for Mike as he was preparing to preach today, right? But I thought about this, man, Lord willing, you know, God wills this. And he reminds me of that every time I see him, and I'm so grateful. And then yet another reminder this morning. And that's what it is to have that truly submissive attitude. Church, do we come demanding anything from God? You realize that anything that we have is his anyways, right? Do we come before God as though we are worthy of deserving anything? Or do we come to God in humility, casting ourselves upon his sovereign will and his tremendous mercy, knowing that he's always working for our good and for his glory? That's confidence. And if you've been a believer walking with Jesus Christ, some of you have been walking with Jesus longer than I have, and I see your confidence in Christ, and it encourages me to greater faith. This man, this is exactly what this man did. He was confident, not in himself, but he was in Christ. So he was contaminated with leprosy, but he was a confident man. Verse 3, a contaminated man and a confident man became a cleansed man. Look at verse 3. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It's obvious that this man's decision to come to Jesus was a wise one. He came, and Jesus came through. Notice now, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. This is absolutely amazing. Even today, leprosy exists. It's called Hansen's disease. But today, 90% of the world is immune to it. You know why? Because no doctor alive would do what Jesus did. The other 10%... That's affected with it, it can be treated. It can't be cured, but it can be treated. You know, doctors today will wear latex gloves. That's probably smart. But Jesus just reached out his hand and touched him. Jesus took a man that people wouldn't have come within 10 feet of, and he actually touched him. How about you? You remember when Jesus touched you for the first time and healed you of the leprosy of your soul? You were outcast. You were on the margins, right? Some of you have been through ridicule, and some of you have been through being ostracized in so many ways, right? I'll never forget a young man in Jackson. He responded at a camp to an altar call one night, and he came to my line, and I was down there to pray with him. And I called him by his name, and I said, What's God saying to you? And he said, Brian, could God forgive a sinner like me? It's a 13-year-old kid. And I said, sure. I said, what have you done that he's so, you could just tell something was really on his heart. He said, I've dishonored my mom and my dad. And that little boy sat at the altar for 45 minutes and he begged God to forgive him. And he got back home and he was reconciled to his mom and dad because of a life of waywardness. Even at 13, weird things happened in Jackson, Tennessee. But I mean, this is a kid that got this. He realized that only Jesus, but he came and he was just like, man, I'm contaminated with my sin. Can Jesus forgive a guy like me? What did Jesus say? I will. He stretched out his hand and he touched that kid that day, that night. He can do this for you. He's done this for me. He'll do it again, right? He was cleansed, not just physically of his leprosy, but he was willing to cleanse him from the leprosy of his soul and his heart. Immediately, the leper was cleansed. Imagine that, right? Here was a man with a raspy voice, with a stench, with missing fingers and toes, with no eyebrows, with a wrinkled face like a lion, with open wounds, and instantly his body was restored. I can't explain it, but I believe it because it's in the Word. Amen? 10:55. And they all did this instantly. It was an actual bona fide miracle. John MacArthur writes this: when Jesus healed, he did so with a word or a touch, without gimmicks, without formulas, without fanfares. He healed instantaneously with no drawn out period of waiting for gradual restoration. He healed totally, not partially, no matter how serious the disease or deformity. He healed everyone who came to him and even some who never saw him. He healed organic as well as functional afflictions, most dramatically and powerfully of all. He even raised the dead. That's the God who's revealing himself through these miracles. And Matthew wants you and me this morning, church, to see beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is the work of God. So much more that we could go this morning. But Matthew just wants us to see that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the answer. He is the remedy for our sin and for our contamination. And he is the only one that can make us clean. Finally, I want us to look at verse 4, and I'm going to land the plane. A contaminated man became a confident man and became a cleansed man and now a commissioned man. Jesus in verse 4. Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer that gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. This is an interesting statement. Jesus just worked a great miracle to cleanse this man, and yet he told him not to go tell anybody, but to go and show himself, right, to the powers that be. Jesus told him not to tell anyone, but that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't want them to know what had happened. Jesus wanted this man to testify, but he wanted his testimony to be obedience, not just word of mouth. Don't just go tell everyone. Go and obey God. Isn't that what we learned from the Sermon on the Mount? And by the way, if you go and obey God, people will know. They'll ask questions, and they'll want to know more about this Savior that's changed you. Jesus knew what he was doing, church. The man didn't. And by disobeying Jesus, he actually hindered Jesus' ministry. And so he's giving this man another opportunity to testify to the power of God to make us clean. Now, in case you haven't already picked up on it, this miracle is obviously about more than just leprosy. Jesus didn't come just to heal. His ultimate goal was to save us from our sin. And quite frankly, there was no disease in Scripture that was greater than our sin. Leprosy was a disease that would numb your body. Sin is a disease that will numb your conscience of your soul and end up destroying you. Leprosy was a disease thought to be brought on by oneself because of choices they made in life. And sin is a disease that also is brought on by oneself because of the choices that are made. Leprosy separates a man from a man, but sin separates man from a holy God. Paul reminded the Ephesians of that in Ephesians 4. Leprosy is an accurate illustration of sin, church. And like this man, Romans 3:23 says that we are all sinners. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all contaminated to our core. Yet despite our contamination and rotting away, we can have confidence that Jesus will forgive us of our sin, will accept us and bring us into his family. If we come to him, just like this leper, he will listen. And if we come in humility and submission, believing that he can save us and cleanse us, Scripture says that he will do it. Amen? And so just as Jesus touched this man, he can touch you and me this morning, church. He's free to do it, for he himself is uncontaminated by sin. He will touch us and instantly make us new. And so in this miracle this morning, yes, he had power to heal something physically, but more importantly, he has the power to heal this man spiritually. And that same power exists today. And he offers that to us this morning, afresh and anew. Wherever you are in your faith journey, whether you've had faith for a long time, whether you've had faith in Christ, whether you've been a believer, whether you've been walking with Jesus for decades, or whether you're here this morning knowing that you need to be cleansed and you don't know anything about Jesus at all, God's arms are open wide this morning and he bids you to come. He has the power to heal you, not just physically, but most importantly, spiritually, if you come to him in repentance and faith. And so I implore you all, by the authority of God's word, to do just that this morning. And I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let the church say amen. Well, we've got an opportunity to respond this morning to everything that we've heard. And so PJ and Jimmy are going to come. And I'm going to ask us all to stand. And let's remind ourselves through song about this God who has the power to heal us from the sin sickness of our soul.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome